Are you ready to turn your transformative journey from fear to fun? Then stay tuned, because on this episode of Grounded Spirits Podcast, we have Sarah Deacon on with us, and she's known as the adulting coach, but she takes adulting in a fun way. She sees it as a way to be able to express ourselves fully, and so she helps young adults go through this path of confidence and purpose to have fulfilling lives. And so I'm so excited to bring on Sarah Deacon after the break.
All right. Hi, Sarah. Thank you so much for being here on Grounded Spirits Podcast. How are you?
I'm great, Laura. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. So I'm so excited for our conversation. We have so much to talk about today. And I really wanted to start off with how you view self-expression.
Oh, jumping right into it. How I view self-expression is a lot of different ways. I feel like I've explored many, many different ways of self-expression. I started my life as an artist. So when I was little, it was, I'm going to be an artist when I grow up. I love to draw. I love to create. I love to just express myself through visual means. I liked to sing and dance and perform. So self-expression has just been a exploration in different levels of play, like what feels good in my body, what feels good with, with my spirit, what makes me happy, what makes me smile, and how can I communicate some of that in creative ways to connect with other people. So I feel like it's about creativity, play, and connection for me.
So how do you think that having that light from a young age, how do you think that has translated into your coaching business?
In my coaching business, it's been interesting because it's kind of an evolution. I never thought I would be a coach. I didn't know what coaching was until, just several years ago. And what I found is that through connecting with myself and really feeling into who I am and what I'm about, what I believe, what I value, that's been able to come into my business in a way where I bring in the play and fun. I work mostly with young people, teens and young adults to, try and connect with them. So I've brought in things like games and memes and just like putting together different visual like postcards and marketing, Instagram posts and things like that, where I've been fortunate to work with coaches of my own who have encouraged me to bring my full self out into my business, because with business, it is about connecting authentically with somebody that you're going to, be paying for a service, or, you're going to be trusting your personal growth to. You want to be able to connect with them and trust that they can take you where you need to go, and that it's not going to be all like a super like hard slog of, suckiness in your life. When people are hiring a coach, they want somebody who can bring light and fun and positive energy to their life. So that's really what I am about in my personal life. So that is what I want to bring to my business, so that I can bring that to my clients, so that these young adults who are coming up going, oh my gosh, it's like, I need to have it all figured out. I need to be serious. I need to step up. I need to pay bills. I need to do all the like heavy stuff of life. They can start to understand that play can still be a part of it, and they don't have to like feel the heaviness of the burden of anxiety of all the things. Like, they can see other adults out here living life fun and authentically and being themselves, and that their unique gifts are important and valuable, and what lights them up from inside can translate to their self-expression outside and what they are uniquely qualified to bring to the world. So that is what I do for my clients and also how I market my business.
Yeah, it's so funny that you use a lot of like the same terminology as me, because my business is called Inner Light Activation, and it's going along the same lines of needing the fun. But something that I've been thinking a lot about is it possible to have fun all of the time, to play your way through the hard times. Because sometimes, so even, because even when you're in like the dark hole, sometimes you see what, like the light at the end of the tunnel. And so you know that this is part of your evolution. And so in a way, even though it's hard, it can be fun. So I just really wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I use the hashtag adulting is fun because I'm the adulting coach. So I talk a lot about adulting, and it really frustrates me when people are like, adulting sucks and I don't want to adult today. Because I believe, again, going back to my belief in self-expression, I believe adulting can be fun. And it's also hard. It's hard sometimes. And my, you know, when we get into it, when, because people like to argue with me, oh, adulting's not fun, adulting sucks, whatever. And it's like, yes, but let's talk about that. Because even while you might be going through dark times or facing some struggles that are super difficult, you've seen, like, you've likely seen people around you going through either just as difficult times or dark times or worse, and they still have that light, like you say. Like, they still have something that you can tell they're experiencing a level of joy even through the tough stuff. And that's not to say that it's easy to tap into that all the time, or that I'm like happy and laughing every day, because I'm not. Like, I go through my stuff, like we all do. And when we have the tools and the people around us who we can rely on to remember that the joy and laughter, that's temporary. The sorrow and sadness and darkness, that's temporary too. And the whole spectrum is what creates the richness of our life experience. And there's bigger things around us that can support us and move us through to that joy. I don't know if that makes sense, but yeah, it's hard and it's fun. And kind of like you say, like, it is about the perspective that you bring to that struggle. Because I know some people, I like to say it's the people who never really grow up, are the ones that continually look to sources outside themselves or blame, you know, whatever, blame their circumstances, blame other people, and play that game of complaint and negativity. Those are the ones that are not really growing up, because they're looking everywhere except for their own selves for that joy, that richness, that perspective, that happiness. So again, it's a complicated answer. and yeah, I do believe that it can be fun. There can be joy, there can be play, even in the dark times. And it's all about the perspective that you bring to it yourself.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like sometimes I say adulting is difficult, like, yeah, for paying bills and like the jobs and stuff, but I feel like it's also a lack of community because we've been in school for most of our lives. Mm. And then all of a sudden we graduate high school or college or wherever, and then now like all of those are our only connections to the real world. And I feel like that's why we on social media for hours at a time, because we're lacking that community. So what were your thoughts on that?
Right. You go from that built in, like you see the same people every day, you're in the same classes, you're, you know, doing the same activities, to suddenly you have to create that for yourself. And it's not to say that that's not out there. It's that it takes a little more effort to go and find it, because like, yeah, you can go and take a yoga class and you can go and, I don't know, learn a new skill, or you can go to social events or networking. And I mean, I'm a business owner, so I do a lot of networking for business, but I know people in those networking groups, they just come out because they just want to talk to people, or they just want that community. So it is true. And there is value in the social media and the online communities that we have access to. And it's just a matter of like, how do we balance that with real life connection and deepening those relationships, even if they start online, they can still be very rich and valuable.
Yeah, that's a really great way of thinking about it. It's interesting. So I wanted to get what your definition of adulting means, because I feel a lot of people say that it's in between like puberty and like middle age, but like, I just wanted to get how you view
that. Oh, it's funny because I like the way I look at it is it's just verbing the noun of being an adult, like doing the things that adults do, right? That's kind of how I just see the term adulting, because I have honestly talked to people way beyond middle age who are like, well, I could still use some help adulting, honestly, like if I'm being honest. So it feels like it's just, for me, it's like a doorway into a conversation. If we start talking about adulting, usually there's some level that people of all ages can connect to it on. I mean, I'm not talking about like, you know, maybe middle school and younger, but, you know, once you're in that high school range and older, all the way until, you know, however old you get, I think there is some relatability, because again, it brings this lightness to a serious aspect of life. Where, you know, again, we think of doing adult things, we think of paying bills, making appointments, and, you know, going to a job that maybe we don't like all that much. And like sort of the grind of the day to day, where, again, there's nothing like good, bad, right, wrong about any aspect of it. It's, again, that it brings that perspective. And saying adulting instead of paying bills, or, you know, latching onto one specific like heavy aspect of being an adult, saying adulting again brings that little bit of fun and play to it, where it kind of drops people's defenses, where they can sort of be a little bit more honest about like, oh, well, if you're talking about that part of adulting, I still don't feel like I have it figured out or whatever. And people can really get a little bit more vulnerable because it's a little bit more of a playful space, non-threatening, non-judgmental in that way. So I'm not sure that exactly answered the question about the definition of adulting, but that's kind of how I see it and how I use the term when I'm talking to different people about what I do and the business I'm in.
Yeah, no, for sure. So with adulting, I feel like it's kind of about personal power. Like the fun part that we're talking about is the fact that as an adult, you're able to do what you want to do when you want to do it. And I feel like the problem with like the bridge that people need to cross is moving into that space where you're able to have the freedom, where the bills aren't weighing you down, and to have all of this. So just wanted your thoughts on personal power and how you view it in adulthood.
Yeah, there's this great meme that I use all the time, and it's the, I don't know if you've seen it, it's the little, like, it's like a golden retriever holding its own leash crossing the street, and it said, here's what being an adult feels like. Yeah, it's like you're holding your own leash and you're just like on your own. And I think some of the gaps that I see has been, you know, some of the gaps have been where, you know, people are kind of taken care of through their like high school until they're 18, 19, and then suddenly they want to move out, but they really haven't been taught some of the resiliency skills and the, you know, the actual practical aspects of being on your own, where it can feel really like lost, like, oh my gosh, I wanted this, but it's not what I expected it to be. And so what I see is that we need to kind of come into that ownership and agency like a little bit at a time, step by step, right? So if your parents aren't teaching you how to like make yourself dinner or something, you know, when you're still living at home, when you go out and live on your own, you're going to be eating takeout all the time, and then you know, you're not going to have any money, or like you're going to just be living on ramen noodles and you're not going to have your health. So like it really is about that taking ownership kind of one step at a time, like seeing where you're at, what you want to do with your life, what do you want to step into, and practice before it becomes like this sort of life or death situation where it's like, oh my gosh, I have all these bills and I don't know what I'm doing. It's like money management classes, or, you know, just sitting down with a parent or a mentor or a guide or a coach and going, I don't really know how to do this. And it feels so scary, because when you can take away some of that fear, then you can step into taking that ownership that you need to do as you step into adulthood. And, you know, I feel like it's just the fear of the unknown is so huge, especially when it comes to like making an appointment, most people don't have to make their own appointments until they're like in their 20s at this point sometimes. So sitting down with a parent or, you know, some whoever's making the appointments and just sort of seeing that it's not this, you know, really hard task, and the people on the other end of the phone or whatever, they're there to help you too. So yeah, just taking those steps, trusting yourself to know what's right and trusting the people around you to be, you know, the right people to help you do what you need to do. I think all of those things come into play.
Yeah. Like, trust is definitely so huge. I feel like I'm 30 now. And so like, I feel like I'm barely learning that now, that like when I get onto the phone to make an appointment, mm-hmm. or to pay a bill or whatever, that they're not out to get me, that they really do want to help. And it's just like you're saying, like the fear is just so crippling until you do it and then you keep doing it. And then
right.
it makes it not as hard.
Right. One of the things that I talk about every once in a while is just that if you can minimize the time between the decision to do something and actually doing it, the fear is less. So like the less time between that, then the less time your fear has a chance to like kind of lie to you and make it this like huge thing that that becomes overwhelming and crippling. Because I used to have a huge, huge fear of like making phone calls. I even, you know, like you say, making appointments or just like calling the bank or whatever I needed to do, even calling people that I know and like, that I know want to talk to me. Like picking up the phone and actually dialing it, it's just like, oh, so scary. And it had to be on my to-do list for like weeks before I would get around to it. But then once I kind of learned that, like, oh, if I just actually do it, then it's done. And then I don't have to spend like 2-3 weeks in all of this anxiety about it. And that's a hard lesson to learn until you actually just do it. So that's something I like about being a coach, is because like, hey, people can reach out to me anytime, because I'm like, I love talking to people and you're never going to bother me. Like it's all good. So, you know, just even being on the other end, I think kind of can help too. Like if you work in a customer service job or something and you're, you know, people call you and you answer the phone and you help them, it makes you feel good. So even being on the other end of that appointment line or something sometimes can be a really valuable experience, depending on the kind of work you might be doing or that kind of thing too. So.
Yeah, for sure. That's amazing advice. So thank you so much for that. It helps me. So I know it's going to help a lot of other people too.
Right.
So how did you gain self-awareness and start your journey?
Oh man, it's interesting to see, because the clients I work with, like they're young, like, you know, 17, 18, 19 years old sometimes. And I'm like looking at them going, I was never that self-aware when I was their age. So I feel like my self-awareness has definitely evolved and grown like very like little bits at a time. And, you know, when I was younger in high school and college, I had a sense of certain things, you know, needing to happen for myself, or certain choices I would want to make, or things about myself I wanted to change or grow. But not necessarily any clear picture of the destination. And then even looking at clients and the people I surround myself with now, like sometimes we just forget about looking at the big picture and the destination. And so that clarity has really helped develop my self-awareness, because taking the time and spending the time with myself and with my coaches, being asked these really sticky questions sometimes, or, you know, questions that require a lot of silence to find the answer within myself, that's brought me to much higher levels of self-awareness much more quickly than I was able to do it on my own, just by like kind of fumbling around, reading books, looking at blogs, watching YouTube videos, whatever it is that I was doing, you know, when I didn't really know how to be more aware of myself or what that even looked like. So having some other person take me through it giving myself the time to complete exercises that are things like discovering my passions or doing my core values or, you know, just really connecting with who I am as a person and where I see myself going and staying connected to those visions. I mean, people do vision boards. I have one, but it's not put up right now. But like I have things in front of me that show me like, here's your passions. Here's where you want to go. Here are some affirmations. So I have those things in front of me now, which helps return me to the self-awareness when I feel like things are getting too heavy, too chaotic. I feel like I'm shifting into more reactive mode than proactive, you know, action taking and creating my own life, that agency and ownership that we were talking about before. So it's a practice.
Yeah. So would you say that it was through the help of your coaches that you were able to adult?
I feel like there are still some aspects of adulting that are in progress for me. And yes, definitely the coaching and mentoring that I've gotten over the years has been like priceless because they add this perspective that I couldn't bring to myself. I read a lot of books. I do a lot of, you know, like online courses and webinars and free downloads. And I just want to soak it all in. But when it comes to actually implementing and integrating it into who I am and how I'm showing up, sometimes I need a little nudge from something outside myself that's not just this stuff I consume. It's an actual connection to someone else who sees something in me personally to like just nudge me in the right direction for me. Like I came to coaching younger people because people started asking me if I work with teenagers. And I hadn't thought about it until someone asked me. So that's sort of the simplest little like nudge or twist or pivot or whatever you want to call it that kind of came into the like the business side of what I'm doing. But again, like it took someone else's eyes on me personally to connect those dots and help me see that I would be, you know, that I would be good at it and that they really needed me. So I would probably not have seen that otherwise. So yes, definitely. Whether it's a coach, a mentor, a teacher, someone, you know, a friend, parent, a friend, you know, whoever it is, like that outside perspective, somebody who really can see that potential in you or that light, like we said before, that fire that's inside you that you have maybe got so caught up in the day-to-day of adulting or doing the, you know, checking the lists and checking the boxes and reacting to life that you just can't even see where your strengths are, where your talents are, what your potential might be. I think that is really powerful to have another perspective in the mix for sure.
And so before you went on this journey, how did you make the decision that you needed a coach?
Well, it's kind of funny because I feel like I had coaches before I realized they were actually coaches. Cause I'm involved in the martial arts. So my kids and I and my husband just recently, we all do karate. And I came into that as an adult, as a middle-aged mom, and I never expected to do that. But through that process, as I connected with the, you know, the chief instructor, the owner of our school, things like that, learning beyond the actual physical techniques and training, I realized they were mentoring me. Like they had been coaching me in learning how to teach, how to instruct classes, and then how to communicate and how to be a leader and what that meant and how to change the identity, how to see yourself differently, all of that thing. So like, it was coaching I was receiving without really realizing it was coaching.
I see. And so I love that. And so it was through that self-awareness right. And perspective of looking back that then you see that there are people around you all along that were
right. Helping. And then, yeah, from there, then I would, you know, as I started this as I started my coaching business, then I started seeking out other coaches that could give me the different kinds of support and perspective that I was needing and looking for. And along the way, I made some mistakes and I hired some of the wrong people, and like it happens, and we learn and move and grow from it. So again, like, it's not that the like so-called like wrong people, I don't like to say it was wrong, but like the ones that were not as effective for me, like there was still learning to be had. Yeah. And there was still learning to be had, even though the outcome was not the, maybe the impact that I had been expecting or looking for. I think there's still learning to be had. So, you know, we play, we try new things, we pivot and try again.
Yeah, for sure. So you mentioned earlier that, you learned through, the mentors of karate that how to be a leader. So I wanted to know what being a leader means to you.
That's a really good question. I was not expecting that one. Being a leader to me, I think it really, it's about creating other leaders. Whether that looks like them leading their own life or leading other people at in a like official role or position or anything like that. So the way I like to look at leadership is just having that ripple effect where if I'm showing up the way that I would want my kids to show up, then somebody's always going to be watching me and looking at me. And if I want to have a positive impact on them, then I need to be doing the things that help me be a positive person and be the kind of leader that I would want somebody else to be. So it's about doing my own work to reach the kind of level that I want to be at for myself. And it's also about, you know, the times where I might not be aware that somebody's watching me, but being aware of the fact that somebody may always be watching me. And leading doesn't mean being perfect. It doesn't mean not making mistakes. It doesn't mean not being vulnerable and sharing struggle, but it means connecting and allowing space for people to really step into their own superpowers.
Oh, I love that too. So with having like your own superpower, because I feel like you have your superpower comes out once that light is like full, like bright inside of you. So the way that I would describe that would be that's ultimate fulfillment. Once you're able to like step into your like superhero powers, that is what I feel like we're all striving for. And so like how you, I love how you said that you don't have to be perfect to be a leader, because we're constantly growing, we're constantly going up the mountain. But how do you define getting up there, or like what does ultimate fulfillment mean to you?
Yeah, the ultimate fulfillment. It's really interesting because I feel like kind of going back to what we really talked about, I don't know, way earlier, was the, you know, having the joy and bringing that sort of what some might see as unnatural peace and joy to tough seasons or spots of life. And that's what I really see as being a fulfilled person. Finding that fulfillment is that when life kind of, you know, knocks you around, it doesn't destroy you. It doesn't hurt as much. And that when I'm fulfilled, I can feel like, if there's a hard time coming at me, if I'm facing a challenge, I can just be confident and know that what I have, and like I have what I need and inside of me and the people around me, like whatever resources I don't have, I can lean on God. I can lean on the people around me to help me through it. And that makes me excited because I know there's kind of nothing that can take me down, because, you know, I've got it. And that it's really kind of wild, because I haven't had a super hard life. And I know that there are people out there that have like super, super hard lives. So I can't say with 100% certainty if I wasn't facing like a huge trauma or tragedy that I would be totally joyful. What I do know is that I have everything I need, and somehow I would be okay, even if I wasn't for a while. So I think that's part of what fulfillment is just kind of knowing you're going to be okay.
Yeah. It's like having that like internal peace. Is that how you're saying?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I feel like that's the point where I'm at right now. Like, I feel like I know that facts, but then it's just, now it's just the believing. Right.
Feeling part. It. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a really deep question. I feel like that there's no simple answer to what does fulfillment look like.
It's different for everybody.
Right. It's different for everybody. And it's sort of a constant evolution. It's part kind of related to some of the work I do with my clients, because we talk about passion and like really prioritizing what are your top five passions? What are you passionate about in your life? And we can do that like several times. Like it always evolves as life changes, you know, your priorities change, what you're passionate about changes, what fulfillment looks like is going to be different. Like for, you know, I'm just, you know, in an early stage of my business. So, oh man, it would be so fulfilling to be making, you know, six figures a year or something, you know, where I can put like a number on it, but would that be fulfilling me as a person, or would that be like fulfilling for my business? It's kind of, you know, it's different. There's different ways of looking at that. Because if I look at like a dollar amount or, you know, a certain level of business success, what I can pinpoint about fulfillment would be like, okay, if I was earning that much, or if I have that amount of clients or something, well, the impact I'm making on people's lives will be at this level, right? So even the numbers attached to it, it's each of those numbers have to do with what are the ripples I'm putting out into the world? What is the impact I'm having on somebody else's life? What kind of leader am I showing up as? What does it mean about my worth and my value as a person? Things like that. So we can add all those layers underneath it. And I think that's where that fulfillment question kind of lands, is in those like layers beneath what the surface goals might be for life, business, school, work, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's how we find our why too, by going through all those different layers and finding our why. And then I love how everything gets connected. So that's connected to your passions, your purpose, and then the ultimate. So,
right. Yeah. And we ask, coaches sometimes sound like the 3-year-olds going, well, why do you want to do that? Why do you think that? Why do you believe that? Why? So like, I sometimes sit in sessions feeling like a 3-year-old asking why for everything to get down to that heart of it, that inner light. Right. I like to live in the realm of, and adulting is fun and it's hard and it sucks sometimes and it's fun. So like, I like to teach people how to hold both, because I think that tempers that toxic positivity. The, you know, oh, you know, just smile, or, you know, something like that, where it's, that might be true, but that's not necessarily what somebody needs to hear in a moment of difficulty, darkness, and weakness. You need to kind of be there with them, and you need to show up with them and hold that space to like, well, name the feeling. What is it? What is it telling you? What is it trying to teach you? So in our social media world, it's like, okay, well, a meme can say, hey, just be happy, or let it go, or whatever like little pithy saying that comes up looks good on an Instagram feed, but you have to dive into the caption sometimes and say, okay, like here's what this really actually gets to the heart of. Because you don't want it to feel dismissive, because that doesn't serve, that doesn't help anyone actually move through those tough feelings, those tough seasons, and that darkness that's there. We have to look at it, because if we keep trying to sweep it under the rug, it's just going to come back in other ways. So I think there is issues with toxic positivity, and that's why, again, having an individual, some person who sees you and can help you hold that space for those tough things and be with you looking at it or moving through it in whatever way it needs to happen, that's where it becomes that ability to move into the positive instead of just being a band-aid over the, you know, the uncomfortable feelings we don't want to look at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So getting into like the emotions and like the hard the hard parts. It's like the yin and yang, where you need to have both. But what I love about like the yin and yang part is that there's also like the little part inside of like the half and half. And so what I see is that we can have the darkness, but we don't need to be in a sea of darkness. We could surround the darkness with our light. And then like how you were saying earlier, that when you do go through hard times, then it isn't as tough, because you still have that light, you still have your passion, you still have your values, you still have those anchors around. And then I really wanted to get into structure. I saw on your website that you talk about being creative, but also, or like freedom, but also having that structure. And so I just really wanted to get your thoughts on that as well.
Oh, that could be a whole episode itself, I think. Right. Well, I'll start with kind of relating my story, my experience with that. I always resisted structure. I colored outside the lines. I am a creative person. I don't want to be tied down. And, you know, kind of as I grew, evolved, adulted more, it was like I started to realize that even the lack of structure was itself a kind of structure. Like it's a kind of like constraint around who you think you might be, or like that kind of stuff. It's interesting because it kind of ties into the idea that everything is a choice. Even not making a choice is still a decision that you make, right? So looking at my resistance to structure, I had to do some of my work with like, oh, why am I so resistant to structure? And that took place as I was kind of growing through my training in the martial arts, was realizing that it was the structure of the teaching or structure of the progression through the technique or the class itself or the, you know, whatever it was that allowed me to express myself in a way that was more full or more creative, more connected, because putting sort of like we're talking about boundaries around the calendar or things like that, putting guardrails around creativity can actually open up a lot more space to be creative, to express yourself. You know, again, I take the structure of my martial arts influence, I apply it to mental health, coaching, you know, my work, my program that I do, that I offer. And it works because you know what to expect. You know what comes next. If you're just kind of flinging yourself, like flinging all things in all directions, there's no focus and there's no deeper learning or deeper lessons there. So that's, and I feel like that's the point of creativity, is to connect with something and to learn something, whether it's about yourself, about the world, about life, about what you believe, about whatever it is. So like that balance, that and, where it allows you to go deeper because of the structure, I think is really valuable and something that I hadn't expected to understand.
Yeah, no, that's so great, because so the way that I see it, so this is my podcast thing. Mm-hmm. So here we have like the mountain and the river. And so if you didn't have the mountain, the river would just go everywhere and it would have no structure. So the river can still be, it's free. Cause I'm the same as you. I've always considered myself a free spirit. And then, so it's crazy that I ended up having a podcast named Grounded Spirits, because I feel like subconsciously it was that I was trying to ground myself through my journey. And so, but I never thought about it in the way that you just did, that you can find more creativity in if you have that structure. So that just completely was like a whole new perspective on it. And so my question is, how can we become more of a grounded spirit by having these two seems like opposing structures, even structure and creativity?
Yeah. And I think the answer to that question kind of comes back to that idea of choice is understanding that I get to choose the structure that works for me, because the structure that works for me is probably not going to be the same structure that works for you. And sometimes that's going to take trying on different things and different approaches and learning in different ways. But if you start looking around, you'll see that there's structure everywhere. You know, if you go to a class, there's going to be a beginning, a middle, an end, you know, like you'll do this many classes and by the end you'll do this, or you'll learn this. So it is about having that, like, that direction, because when you make the choice, even if it's something small, to become the better version of yourself or whatever it is, there's going to need to be things that change that either you need to add to your life or that you need to take away. And that comes into that being intentional about your choice, knowing what you value, what your passions are, things like that. And having the courage to say no to what doesn't align and to say yes to maybe something that's a little scary, but you know is going to make you that much better, stronger, smarter, healthier, whatever the goal is. And really the idea for your listeners is start small. Like, you don't have to have like a whole like calendar block schedule, whatever. Like, you start small. Like, if you want to implement some new healthy habits, do one. For me, one that I did a few years ago was, like, I didn't brush my teeth before bed for like a long, long time. And I knew I should. I just didn't do it because I was tired and I just wanted to go to bed. But then I was like, well, it started to kind of see how I was seeing myself. It was an aspect of how I saw myself. It's like, if I am the kind of person I want to be, if I can be that now, would I make that choice to brush my teeth? Yes. So it's that it comes into the identity of like how you see yourself too. It was on my black belt journey. I was like, oh, well, would a black belt brush her teeth before bed? Yeah, she would. So it's like looking at that, holding up that picture of who I want to be and then making the decisions that kind of person would make helps you become that kind of person, right? So I think a lot of times we do it the opposite way. We think, oh, well, I need to be that first, or I need to have that role, or I need to have my ducks in a row, or I need to have a certain house or a certain setup or a clean space or, you know, whatever to live the way I want to live. But if we start the opposite and say, okay, well, if I want to be that, what would that person do? And then eventually you have the stuff. So it's that be do have instead of have do be. Yeah. That's kind of how we put that into perspective. So yeah, it comes down to choice. It comes down to identity of, you know, what kind of structure will work.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for all of your responses. They were amazing and they really resonate with me. So I know they're going to resonate with a lot of people out there.
Wonderful.
Well.
You asked some great questions. Thank you.
Thank you. And so my last question is, what are you up to? What do you want to tell? Last thoughts to tell the audience?
Well, I'm playing. I'm doing some fun things. If you go to my website, sarahdeacon.com, there's a bingo game you can download. It's the Adulting Bingo. And you can kind of see how the scores are, but there's kind of more to it than that. So it's a fun way to connect and kind of see different like ways of looking at adulting. And then, you know, there's some learning around that too. So that's my, you know, that's my fun kind of opt-in at my website, but you can always connect with me. I offer kind of like, I don't know if I mentioned, I do a one-on-one coaching program. That's a 90-day program. And to get started with that, you can just reach out to me via the website.
And that's it. Thanks so much for being here. Thanks again to Sarah for coming on to the show. And I'm so excited to announce that I have a new course coming out. It's called the SEIA course. It stands for Choose Your Adventure. And basically, we're going to look at the transformative journey, the spiritual journey, the healing journey, however you want to view it. We're going to take it in a whole new direction. We're going to combine the liberal arts and astrology. And we're going to make this huge, like, make a huge fun game out of it, basically. And based on scenarios, we're going to walk you through, and it's going to be so incredible. If you want to be intellectually stimulated, this is going to be the place for you. I'm going to cover every single subject in a broad overview, but every single subject over the course of 14 weeks. And so you're just going to be able to gain a breadth of knowledge, both in the liberal arts, like academic subjects, but also within astrology. You're going to become a pro in astrology and be able to read your birth chart, read your family's birth chart, read everybody's birth chart. And it's going to come in a play environment, and it's going to be so amazing. So check the link somewhere around here to make sure to get a spot, because spots are going to fill up really quick in this new thing. So thank you so much again for being here. Please subscribe or follow. You can find me at It's Laura Lynn, or at Ela Institute, or at Grounded Spirits, all on Instagram and on TikTok. You can also find Sarah at sarahdeacon.com, and I'll put all of her info below as well. So thank you so much, and I will see you next week. Bye, everybody.